From Vermont Public and the NPR Network, this is Brave Little State. I'm Josh Crane.
So I'm Rosie Krueger. We're here in my home in Montpelier, Vermont.
Rosie Krueger believes in the power of good governance. She got a taste as a legislative assistant in the U.S. House of Representatives more than a decade ago. And now she works for the state of Vermont. But the reason I'm talking to her is because of her experience on the Montpelier City Council between 2017 and 2019.
You know, big part of that role is figuring out the budget and that you're going to present to taxpayers.
Setting budgets, especially municipal budgets, is the type of cocktail party fodder to use if you want to be left alone. But bear with me, because for Rosie, good budgeting means good governance. Except during her time on the city council, she encountered a fundamental, frustrating problem. And it planted a seed of curiosity.
So it just doesn't make sense.
Rosie remembers going into the budgeting process, dreaming about all the ways she and other council members could make their community stronger, like funding badly needed road repairs. And Rosie hoped to keep this spending within the rate of inflation to avoid majorly raising taxes. To her, it just seemed practical, sensible. And she learned in practice, it was also entirely unrealistic. That's because there was one big part of the budget that was increasing by about double the rate of inflation at the time. And even worse, local officials like Rosie had no control over it. I'm talking about the cost of health insurance for city employees.
As a policymaker, you know, there's all these great things that you want to do, but you have to start the conversation every year with what are we going to cut in order to just make up for this health insurance cost.
As the years have gone by and Rosie's moved on to other things, this health insurance dilemma has only gotten worse. Vermont health insurance was already among the most expensive in the country back in 2019. The year Rosie left the city council. The average premium, that is, the price for plans on the Vermont marketplace that year, it was about 25% higher than the national average. This year, in 2025, it's more than 140% higher than the national average. And for individuals who get their insurance through their employers, not the marketplace, it's not good news either. Their contributions are the highest in the entire country. Rosie's been paying close attention to all of this, and what used to be frustration has morphed into something closer to bewilderment. Because on the surface, it doesn't seem like costs should be so high here. Vermont regularly checks in near the top of healthiest state rankings, and theoretically, healthier populations should be cheaper to care for. And yes, Vermont does have a pretty old population.
But if you look at a state like Maine, they're older than Vermont. And they're not seeing the same spike. Like, they're seeing the sort of the normal spike. And so it was just an older population thing. Like, that doesn't really explain it.
It's true. The average premium for plans on Maine's marketplace hovers right around the national average. And in New Hampshire, premiums are below the national average. And they've actually gotten cheaper since 2019. Rosie's like, please, just make it make sense. So she asked,
why are health insurance premiums increasing so much faster than inflation? And where is all that money going?
When we put Rosie's question in a public voting round to decide the focus for this episode, it won in a landslide. Health insurance costs are top of mind for a lot of people right now. I do have some good news. There's a pretty straightforward answer to Rosie's question. The question that's harder to answer is, what do you do about it? But first, we do have to pay the bills here at Brave Little State and Vermont Public. Those health insurance premiums are not going to pay for themselves. So we'll be right back after these messages. The healthcare system is complicated, mind-numbingly complicated. But in Vermont, I'm going to focus on three main characters in this healthcare drama. First, the University of Vermont Medical Center, based in Burlington. There are lots of different places all over the state where Vermonters can go get healthcare, but UVM Medical Center is the biggest, by a lot. They're about 5 times bigger than the second biggest hospital here in Rutland, based on annual budgets. Next up, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont. There are other health insurance companies with customers here, but Blue Cross Vermont is the huge one. A whopping 75% of Vermonters with commercial insurance, as opposed to Medicare or Medicaid, are covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield. That includes us here at Vermont Public, by the way. That brings us to our third and final main character, the Green Mountain Care Board. They're an independent regulatory group that was established in 2011, and they regulate both health insurance companies and hospitals. Their mission is to keep the prices we pay low and the quality of care we receive high, while maintaining the overall health of, you know, the healthcare system. So those are the players on center stage. One big hospital, one big insurance company, and one regulatory board. And then there's the rest of us, sitting in the proverbial audience. We're the patients, the people who seek healthcare, and then try to figure out how the heck to pay for it.
Welcome to the House Appropriations Committee. It is Thursday, February 20th, 2025, and we're delighted this afternoon to have the Green Mountain Care Board with us.
Just the other week in the Vermont State House, the Green Mountain Care Board went in front of state lawmakers. Rosie Krueger, our question asker, she actually tipped me off on this. She was like, you've got to listen to this. And she was right. The meeting was essentially an interview with the chair of the Green Mountain Care Board, a guy named Owen Foster.
I'm a lawyer by trade. My job right before this prosecuted healthcare fraud, and I represented doctors in medical malpractice.
Owen was also one of the leading prosecutors in the case against Purdue Pharma, the maker of addictive painkiller OxyContin, which led to an $8 billion settlement. He grew up in Middlebury and was appointed to the care board by Governor Phil Scott in 2022. Owen and the rest of the care board were meeting with lawmakers on this day in February to go over the regulator's annual budget. But for most of the time, elected officials just peppered them with questions, because it turns out they were wondering the same thing we are. Why are health insurance prices so high?
Yeah, and that's easy. It's pharmaceutical prices, it's hospital prices, and it's increased utilization. I mean, we know what's driving it.
He was like, it's simple. Health insurance prices are so high because the thing our health insurance is paying for, the actual healthcare, has gotten really expensive. And we as a state are using more of that really expensive thing. Nationally, hospital prices have grown faster than prices for childcare, housing, and even college tuition. But there's also evidence that hospital prices in Vermont are especially high. That's thanks to a nonprofit called RAND Corporation. They found that if you have commercial insurance and get an outpatient procedure, treatment, or test done in Vermont, it'll run you about 30% more than the national median. But prices vary pretty wildly across our region, too. Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center in New Hampshire is the other major hospital serving this region, and their prices for the same types of services are slightly below that national benchmark. Meanwhile, they're almost 40% higher at the UVM Medical Center. Those numbers, by the way, are based on prices from 2020 through 2022. In the 3 years since, prices at UVM have only gotten higher and higher. The UVM Medical Center explains this discrepancy, at least in part, by pointing to the services they offer that generally lose money, like dialysis and primary care.
Dartmouth doesn't do dialysis. Dartmouth does less primary care than us and less of a couple other services.
Dr. Stephen Leffler is the president of the UVM Medical Center. And he's basically saying higher prices help UVM balance out those losses. Higher prices for things like outpatient services, which includes care delivered by emergency departments. And emergency departments play an outsized role in Vermont's healthcare landscape.
When I came back to Vermont in 1993 as a brand new young emergency medicine doctor, our ED at the time saw about 32,000 patients a year.
Steve practiced emergency medicine at UVM for more than 3 decades. And during that time, they built a new facility with more capacity.
And we built that one to see about 40,000 patients. We're still in that one. And we're going to see 70,000 patients in our ED this year through the same size space.
70,000 patients in a space built for 40,000 is nightmare fuel for people like me who get anxious in crowded emergency rooms. And this isn't new. In 2022, nearly 75% of all patients at the UVM Medical Center were seen in the emergency department. It's part of a larger trend. Doctors all over the state have been reporting backlogs due to the high volume and, crucially, a lack of other options. Dozens of residential nursing homes have closed around the state in recent years. There also aren't enough primary care providers. Owen Foster, chair of the Green Mountain Care Board, told me that he couldn't even find a primary care provider for himself for many years, even after he was appointed to one of the most prominent healthcare positions in the state.
I mean, we're in a crisis. We have community-based services crumbling.
Julie Wasserman is an independent healthcare consultant who spoke to Vermont Public earlier this year.
Whether it's primary care, mental health, home health, you name it, we have underfunded them for so many years that people are showing up in the ER when, if they had gone to a community-based service, the ER visit could be avoided.
A hospital's emergency department specializes in immediate and urgent care. But because of a lack of other options, they're being asked to fill the void of ongoing care more and more. So fewer options means more people getting funneled to emergency care settings and staying there longer, whether they need that higher level of care or not. And care provided by emergency departments and hospitals in general is just way more expensive.
We're going to take care of you if you sprain your ankle or if you need heart surgery or highly advanced cancer care.
Steve Leffler again, president of the UVM Medical Center. He says one of the reasons his hospital's prices are so high is because they provide the highest level of specialized care in the state, from heart surgeries to advanced cancer care. And they also fill the role of a community hospital, treating ankle sprains and delivering babies. This is convenient in some ways, but going to a hospital for a minor ankle sprain is sort of like going to NASA for a weather report. It's not that that weather report doesn't matter, it's just that NASA might be a little over the top. And Steve says hospitals like the UVM Medical Center, much like NASA, are getting more advanced all the time. And that more advanced care is also more expensive. This fits what Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont has been noticing in their patients' claims. It's not that there are so many more people seeking care overall. It's that when they are, they're doing so in high-priced settings and also receiving more services like labs, testing, and imaging. Circumstances beyond the practice of medicine are also impacting the UVM Medical Center's bottom line, like Vermont's housing crisis. Over the past few years, on top of increasing salaries, they've also been building new housing for their workers who just can't find any elsewhere. All of this adds up. Collectively, Vermont hospital spending has risen by almost 50% since before the pandemic, an increase of $1.6 billion. But increased spending isn't the only explanation for high hospital prices. There's a different explanation I heard over the course of my reporting.
UVM Medical Center has monopoly power in this part of the state to set prices.
We'll be right back.
When you only have one major provider serving most of the state, they get to charge the prices they want to charge.
This is Alex Garlick. He's an assistant professor of political science at the University of Vermont and the author of a forthcoming book about healthcare lobbying.
While the care board is looking at this as hard as they can and the insurance companies are trying to limit premiums, ultimately the price of the services are what matters. And UVM Medical Center charges the prices that the market will bear, which are relatively high.
Research supports this idea. In basic terms, fewer hospitals competing with one another means they have more control of the supply for healthcare services. And since there will always be demand for healthcare services, this gives hospitals leverage. The UVM Health Network, which includes the UVM Medical Center, says it was formed to preserve access to care, and that the alternative would not be more competition, but less access to care overall. According to Alex Garlick, though, if you're wondering why Vermont healthcare prices are so high, even compared to our neighbors in New England, market power is a factor.
And if you look at some of our other peer states in the region, like New Hampshire or like Massachusetts, they have competition from their healthcare providers. There's no such competition in Vermont. And so there's very few limits being placed on prices going up from the market to slow it down.
Few limits, but not no limits. That's where the Green Mountain Care Board comes in.
The recent showdown between the Green Mountain Care Board and the UVM Medical Center is the most important thing to point at.
Well, new this morning, the Green Mountain Care Board has reached a conclusion in their budget review for fiscal year 2025, and Vermont hospitals are taking budget cuts. Overall,
last fall, the Green Mountain Care Board concluded their budget review for all 14 Vermont hospitals. They approved a budget for UVM Medical Center that was bigger than last year, but smaller than the medical center had proposed. And they also did something unprecedented in the board's history: require UVM to reduce commercial prices by 1%. The care board said they found the UVM Medical Center's budget proposal to include higher than necessary commercial prices and instead urged them to address inefficiencies in their spending. It was the first time since the board was created in 2011 that they ordered a hospital to reduce commercial prices. The UVM Health Network released a statement saying they disagreed vigorously with the care board's decision, and it wasn't long before they announced some news of their own.
Citing recent budget orders from the Green Mountain Care Board, the UVM Health Network announces cuts to a range of patient services.
Cuts to the number of patients admitted to the UVM Medical Center and to an inpatient psych unit in central Vermont, and consolidation for primary care and rehab clinics in that area as well. The announcement also mentioned cuts to administrative services and that the health network would stop running kidney dialysis clinics around the state. CEO of the UVM Health Network, Dr. Sunny Epen, described these as cuts they were being, quote, forced to make. But the announcement sparked outrage among patients, lawmakers, and even staff across the UVM Health Network. One of the main concerns was the impact on some of the state's most vulnerable residents.
Providers at Vermont's largest hospital taking to the streets over proposed cuts to patient services.
Nurses and staff at UVM Medical Center held a march and rally today in protest of program cuts announced by the UVM Health Network.
Hey, hey, ho, ho! Reverse the cuts, they got to go!
UVM Health Network ultimately decided to keep operating the dialysis centers, though they went forward with the rest of the cuts. Now, the UVM Health Network brought in close to $3 billion last year, netting about $86 million after expenses. It was a rare financial positive in a state where most hospitals are operating at a loss. This is one of the reasons the cuts struck such a nerve. I asked UVM Medical Center President Steve Leffler about this. What would it take for the UVM Medical Center and the health network more broadly to get to a place where you can lower commercial prices to more affordable levels without cutting patient services? What would need to happen?
So we work on that every day. We're working on it now. We keep cutting administrative expenses down as much as we possibly can. There is a limit to how much administrative expense you can cut. There's only a little bit you can do around those edges.
The UVM Health Network reports they've reduced administrative costs by about $40 million over 2 years. But they say cuts to patient services are still needed sometimes, regardless.
In a very rural state, where oftentimes the volume of service is lower than what would be optimal to break even, we're going to have some give and take.
I ask Steve where that $86 million earned from operations last year goes.
It's very, very important in any kind of business. And healthcare is both the important things we take care of people, but it is a business in some ways, is we have to have money left at the end of the year to reinvest in the people that work here, in the tools and equipment we use to take care of you, to upgrade and keep it new and current, and to keep our facilities new and modern.
Facilities, equipment, and people. reinvesting in people included bonuses for executives last year. UVM said its decision to give those bonuses was based on national benchmarks. So what does this all mean for the third character in Vermont's healthcare drama? The big insurance company, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont. Outgoing Blue Cross president Don George told me that the company's premiums, already some of the highest in the country, just haven't been enough to cover the cost of care.
We have had this unprecedented and unrelenting three-year cost surge that has further reduced Blue Cross Blue Shield's reserves to what I would acknowledge is a dangerously low level.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont paid out about a third more in claims in 2023 than they did in 2022. And they reported paying out more in claims last October than any other single month in the company's history. The Vermont Department of Financial Regulation expressed, quote, serious concerns last year about Blue Cross's ability to remain solvent. Owen Foster told Vermont Public earlier this year that those concerns, together with Blue Cross's recent history of losses, were key reasons the care board approved another huge round of premium increases in 2025.
People can't pay it. And yet, if you don't, Blue Cross faces very serious insolvency, and very serious. And if they go bankrupt, that is Armageddon.
So, we're spending all this money on health insurance. Is it at least buying us better quality care? That is something Representative Woodman Page from Orleans County was also wondering during a recent hearing with the Green Mountain Care Board.
Is our health care getting any better?
Again, these are very nuanced questions. I'm answering kind of high level, so this is not a complete answer, but no, it's not.
How to improve the quality of Vermont health care and what that word quality even means? That's a topic for a different story. But in this reporting about affordability, it became clear that quality care and affordable care often have something in common: local. Here's what Owen Foster recently told lawmakers.
So local emergency care, urgent care, we need primary care in every community, mental health and long-term care. We're also aging, so we have the memory care that we need. We need to prioritize the care that we have.
Hospitals are incredible resources, and they do serve local communities. But hospitals are also the most expensive places to get healthcare. And that also often extends to local clinics and healthcare centers that are part of larger hospital networks. In Vermont, we need options at different price points. Those options are increasingly going away. In a bit of brutal irony, one of the big reasons this is happening is because those independent community health centers are struggling to afford the cost of health insurance for the people who work there. And yet, without access to those care centers, there are few ways to get insurance prices under control.
What can you control? We can't control pharmaceutical prices today. You're not going to control what they take, right? People are going to take them. So forget that. That's just going to be what it is. Then second, you have hospital utilization. What are you going to do? You can't go to the hospital? You can't do this? You can't really control when people need to go to the doctor. Third, acuity. You can't really make people get healthier or tell hospitals don't bill for the level of acuity. Fourth, you have hospital price. That's the one you can control, right? And that's not all of the problem here, but that is a problem in this state. Our hospital prices are too high.
But regulating hospital prices is not a big enough lever to fix our system. A system where our major insurance company is at risk of bankruptcy, where 9 out of 14 Vermont hospitals are operating at a loss, and where the state's primary health network has recently cut services.
Right now, my view is you're in a state, we are in a state where we need to identify what's really at risk and then make priorities as to what we need to maintain and ensure we have. You're going to be losing services. There's no sugarcoating it.
As a Vermonter, I see things happening like our homelessness crisis, and I really want to do something about it.
Question asker Rosie Krueger again.
Montpelier, has a really high unhoused population. I think city government would like to do more about it, but they're looking at having to cut staff and cut services just to deal with the health insurance premiums for the city. And same thing with the school district.
Town meeting day is around the corner. And this year, like last year, there will be a lot of focus on property tax increases. And once again, skyrocketing health insurance costs for teachers and other public employees play a big role.
I don't know that everybody realizes that when we're having a conversation about how much property taxes are going up because of school budgets, what a huge portion of it is just the fact that health insurance is going up so much. So the same amount of employees cost you way more every single year. It's all tied together, and it feels like if we could solve this piece of it, that all those other conversations would just be a lot easier, and we could do more of the good stuff.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Rosie Krueger for the great and timely question. To take a closer look at all the data mentioned in this episode, head to bravelittlestate.org. And make sure to follow or subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. That way you get notified when new episodes are available. This episode was reported by me, Josh Crane, with additional reporting from Lexi Krupp. Editing and additional production from Sabine Pooks and Burgess Brown. Our intern is Catherine Morrissey, digital support from Zoe McDonald, Angela Evansy is our executive producer, theme music by Ty Gibbons, other music by Blue Dot Sessions, and Universal Production Music. Special thanks to Laura Nakasaka, Michelle Goodell, Phil Galowitz, Kiana Moore, Annie Mackin, Kristen Lajeunesse, and Sarah Teachout. Brave Little State is a production of Vermont Public and a proud member of the NPR Network. We'll be back soon with more listener-powered Vermont journalism.